Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it, so call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Hey, good evening. I am Bob Kincaid. And this is Head On for a Thursday night. Great to have you on board. You just heard the phone number there, 877-443-2366. Email is also available at bob@headonradio.com. Now, I don't, what a bizarre little day. This is the day that was. I don't know, and maybe this is the part where we start up Nat King Cole singing, well, never mind. Dear leader, they trotted him out at, National Guard Memorial Building today to give a speech, another terror speech, another terrorizing speech, the day after, all of official Washington quaked in abject fear at the very possibility that, well, because the Russell Senate office building was cleared of everyone because one of the alarms went off indicating a nerve agent. Ah! And, of course, there was nothing there. But, of course, it did highlight, it highlighted, as we mentioned last night and as our friend, the blogger from comearmageddon.blogspot.com noted, it certainly highlighted Hillary's claim that the Republicans are playing the terror card for all they're worth. And that's new? I mean, I was paying attention. You were paying attention. We were paying attention when Bionic Dick Cheney, just days before the 2004 election in November of 2004, said, if you don't elect us, the terrorists will strike again, and that's a certainty. It happened. It's been going on, but they knew that Dear Leader was going to come out with this shocking speech today, in which he declared that on his watch they had foiled a terrorist plot where the terrorists is going to fly another airplane into the biggest building in the left coast there in Los Angeles. Now, even in this attempt to scare the living bejesus out of everybody on the West Coast, he still screwed up. He said they were going to use shoe bombs, you know, like that shoe bomber used. They was going to use shoe bombs to get into the cockpit and take an airplane and fly it into the Liberty Tower in Los Angeles. At which point, Los Angelinos all are Liberty Tower? Liberty Tower? We got a Liberty Tower? I didn't know we had a Liberty Tower. Well, you don't. George Bush thought you did. Yeah, they were going to fly it into the Liberty Tower. Because they hate our liberty. Even our towers named Liberty they hate. Oh, God. What a fool! It makes you hurt. It really does. It makes you hurt just to contemplate how abjectly silly the little man is. Yeah, we're going to hit the Liberty Tower. Well, what he meant was the Library Tower, which some time back was renamed the U.S. Bank Tower. I mean, he not only screwed up the... I guess it was like screwed up squared. It not only wasn't the Liberty Tower, it wasn't the Library Tower either. It was the U.S. Bank Tower. But they did it because they hate our liberties. See how it works. Of course you do. But, you know, the news comes out. Francis Townsend, assistant to the president for Homeland Security. Security of the Union. We don't say Homeland Security anymore. We say assistant secretary to the president for Security of the Union. We disavow their ability to take away the language from us. It's the security of our union. Say it often. Quit. Don't refer to. Don't. No. United States is okay. Our country is okay. But whenever possible, refer to our country as the union. Because remember, all Republicans hate unions, and they hate being reminded that this entire nation is in fact a union. So refer to it as the Department of Security for the Union. Union security. Oh, God, don't you know that'll go under their fingernails like little slivers of bamboo? It will. It'll drive them absolutely nuts. And after all, what could we have any more fun than driving the weird little conservatives nuts? No, I mean, they're already there. I got proof of that later in the stack. I've got a story. Should have been in last night's prayer meeting edition, but it didn't get to me in time. But our good friend Ben Birch at WhiteRoseSociety.org did alert me to this, and well, I was all over it like dogs on a bone wagon. The American Family Association with all their family values. Well, I'm not going to give it away. But, Lordy, there's an opportunity out there for you to have some real good big-time fun with these little cretins. Because their family values are apparently slipping. Mavis! No, so Francis Townsend said that the plotters didn't specifically cite the Liberty Tower or the Library Tower or the U.S. Bank Tower. They didn't specifically cite it. But they said they were going to bomb the tallest high-rise on the West Coast. Now, I don't know about you. I apologize to the my California listeners and friends. I'm not that familiar with L.A. I had no idea there was a Liberty... See, he's got me doing it! A library tower. I think of tall buildings on the West Coast and, you know, old, you know, music, grew up in the late 70s, early 80s type that I am. I think of the Transamerica building in San Francisco and the cover of the Doobie Brothers Minute by... Well, it was Minute by Minute, wasn't it? The Minute by Minute LP that had the Transamerica building. That's the big building on the West Coast that I think of. That and the Seattle Space Needle. But so Francis Townsend had to come out and do what you have to do when you work for Dear Leader. Just kind of straighten things out a little bit. Well, you know, they didn't actually say they were going to do that, but they said they wanted to hit a big building on the West Coast. Okay. Meanwhile, the poor man, the mayor of the mayor of Los Angeles, just said, "Okay, what?" He said they certainly didn't tell him anything about it. But why, you know, LA headline, L.A. mayor blindsided by Bush announcement from the Associated Press. Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa said Thursday he was blindsided by President Bush's announcement of new details on a purported 2002 hijacking plot aimed at a downtown skyscraper and described communication with the White House as, what's the word we're looking for here? Yeah, and non-existent. Non-existent. Quote, "I'm amazed that the president would make this announcement on national TV and not inform any us of the details through the appropriate channels," the mayor told the Associated Press. I don't expect a call from the president, but, you know, somebody. Anybody. Mr. Mayor, we're going to announce that you narrowly dodged absolute death and destruction a couple of years ago. We're going to do it on national TV.
Okay? What?
Of course they didn't tell Mayor Villaraigosa. Of course they didn't. They didn't tell him because they really didn't know. They didn't know until yesterday when Hillary Clinton came out and said, you know, it strikes me that the Republicans are playing the terror card. There's that story. Facing re-election this year, Mrs. Clinton said in regard to the issue of national security, quote, they're doing it to us again. She said a speech by presidential advisor Karl Rove 2 weeks ago showed the GOP election messages, quote, all we've got is fear, and we're going to keep playing the fear card. And that's because Rove said in his ugly little speech that Democrats had undermined terrorism-fighting efforts by questioning Bush's authority to listen in and spy on anybody he damned well pleased without getting court approval. So they didn't know Dear Leader was going to say that today, because they didn't know that Hillary was going to say that yesterday. They had no idea they were going to have to declare a nerve agent attack in the Russell Senate office building. Where, am I mistaken in this? Where Hillary has her offices? I mean, you got to find some way to get in there and find out what she's going to use to blister Dear Leader's little bottom with next, don't you? Our buddy David in South Carolina wrote in to note that, you know, in the Godfather movie, they put a severed horse's head in your bed for a warning. Well, in the Dear Leader administration, the Bush family, they're not into that. They just tell you that some unnamed, mysterious, ethereal, never been caught yet, only attacks liberals and Democrats tourist has let loose some toxic nerve agent in the Senate office building. And our buddy David in South Carolina is oh so right. White House spokesman Scott McClellan said Los Angeles officials were told Wednesday about the president's upcoming remarks shortly after Hillary made hers. And the word I heard was that there was great appreciation for the notification that we provided, he said during a briefing. What is Bart Cop call him now? Scotty the Underbear? Villaraigosa said, I go to work every day knowing that we are a target. But I mentioned a moment ago our blogger friend at comearmageddon.blogspot.com. I say you adopt that attitude that's contained there. I say I do. I don't tend to get up every morning wondering if this is the day that I do the whole Fred Sanford, Elizabeth, this is the big one. I don't do that. You don't do that. We don't do that. You don't get up and live every day wondering if this is the day you get run over by the coal truck or the big semi whatever, bitten by the poisonous spider. If you did that, you would be insane. You would be agoraphobic. You would be unable to leave your house for all the fears and the worries and the nightmares. And frankly, you've got a better chance of being hit by lightning or killed by just random gunfire in the United States than you do of being killed by a terrorist. I mean, that's just what it is. You know, so the mayor of Los Angeles says, I go to work every day knowing that we're a target. Well, you get up every morning knowing that you're a target of fate. Or, what, destiny? Or dumbass rotten luck? It is what it is. And, you know, if you want to get kind of scriptural about it for a minute, you can. You know, what did he say? What did Yeshua the brown-skinned Palestinian carpenter say? He said, those who love their lives shall lose it. Well, we're all going to lose it. I mean, I'm not trying to be a bummer. There are cultures where when the baby is born, the first thing they do is say, you know, welcome to the planet. You were born to suffer and die. There are entire religions built around the concept that this is all suffering. It's all illusion. It's all a nightmare. Right? Sure. I reject, I don't know about you, I reject, out of hand, I reject living in terror. You know, Dear Leader was, of course, dead wrong, as he almost consistently always is, in talking about what it is that determines whether or not the terrorists win. You know, shortly, and we talked about this last night, shortly after September the 11th, 2001, he told us that if we all didn't go to Disney World, the terrorists won. He told us that if we all didn't get on a plane and just fly to somewhere and burn some fuel, that the terrorists had won. You need to go shopping. You need to go to your local malls. What you need to do is go to Spencer's Gifts and buy one of them little fellers where when you squeeze him real hard, his eyes bug out. And that'll get you over your terror fears, and you'll be shopping at the same time and saving America. That, he said that. But that is not, you know, going to, you know, and for you ladies in the audience, you know, going to Vicky's Secret does not stop the terrorists. Going shopping, going, you guys, you know, going to the parts place and looking for a new dual mud flaps or something does not stop the terrorists. What stops the terrorists in their tracks is their inability to infuse terror into the cultural debate of the United States. But I guess I'm crazy, huh? Don't fear them. You have more to fear from George Bush than any number of scraggly, scrawny, bearded Muslims living in caves somewhere. You do. You do. The Bush administration is right here in the middle of our home. And they're doing, and they are performing terrorist acts upon us. We talked about it again, one of those things from last night. The absolute elimination of neonatal hearing screening. They want to do that. They plan to do that, Bush and all of his Republican cronies. That's terrorism. I'll never forget the first time that I talked to Dennis Kucinich in an interview during the show, and he said, Bob, you want to talk about weapons of mass destruction? He said, hunger is a weapon of mass destruction. Homelessness is a weapon of mass destruction. He said, illiteracy is a weapon of mass destruction. And every one of those things is right under Dear Leader's nose. And he doesn't want to make it better. He yearns to make it worse. Now you tell me who the terrorist is. You tell me who the terrorist is. Because I kind of think I know who the terrorist is. I know where the seat of terror, on a grand scale in the entire world, lies. It's at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, and if you get in their way, they will kill you deader than a doornail. How many have they been willing to see die already to make sure that the United States stays nice and scared? You explain to me, that the biggest idiot on earth, explain to me how it is that you just sit there and nod and read My Goat while your country's under attack. Is it? How about that, Andy? According to plan. How many warnings? How many warnings did they ignore about 9/11? How many lies did they tell about Iraq? Reject terror. Maybe one of the best things we could all of us do is get online and go and find the audio of Franklin Delano Roosevelt telling a nation that was absolutely mired in horror. The real stuff. The stuff that's touching every family on the street. And families on the street instead of in houses during the Great Depression. Maybe we need to go and hear FDR say again, the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. And that sounds like such a simple concept, but it's tough, and you gotta get down there and you gotta roll it around through your brain for a minute until you realize that what he was getting at is the notion that if you are taken up in fear, if we as a nation are consumed by fear, as the Dear Leader administration wants us to be, then you're doomed. And you're done. The only thing we have to fear is fear itself. If you will go boldly into the next day, if you will struggle and get through another night, then you can get through another day. And maybe the next day is what brings the answers and the relief that you need. But not if you are paralyzed into immobility by fear. At least that's the way I read it. What does it say in that great Frank Herbert novel, Dune? What do they say? Fear is the mind killer. Fear is the mind killer. Fear is the mind killer. Think about that. Think about how look at the Republican Party. All they can do is try to keep us terrorized. Why? Because they have no answers. They have an agenda. Their agenda is to bankrupt this nation and give away the goodies to all their rich buddies before the creditors get here. But they have no answers. They can tell you what we can't do. They can tell you that we can't have a manufacturing base in America anymore because they sent it all with their cronies to China and Bangladesh and Guatemala and Honduras and Myanmar and Burma is Myanmar, and Sierra Leone. They can tell us we can't have a manufacturing base. They can tell us all kinds of things that we can't do. They can tell us that we can't live in the free society envisioned by the founders of this nation and the framers of the Constitution. They can tell us that that's all passé. Because we have to be paralyzed with fear. What can you tell them? You can tell them you're not going to have any part of it. You can tell them that you're going to stand proud in the tradition of your forefathers and go boldly into the future. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. It's all right. It's all right. Don't need a
you like. It's all right. It's all right. Do it wrong, don't do it right. It's all right. It's all right. Don't need to watch the wish you cry. Oh, no. Oh, no.
So if you believe in that God, and if you believe in those spiritual tenets, as 80% of these people that I just read in this poll, supposedly they say they believe in them, you know, is that fantasy world, or is that real world? I mean, if they really believe in those tenets, if they really believe in that religion, if they really believe in that Christ, then why do we have a war going on? And why do we have people starving? And why do we have people homeless? And why do we have, you know, all of this injustice in society? And why are African Americans killed at three times the rate of white Americans in our prisons in execution chairs? I'll tell you why. Because we have a long way to go to make this society an equitable one. We have a long way to go to create the kind of society that our spiritual principles tell us we need to have. Hey, this is Bruce Birch, and I'd like to invite you to join me each and every Sunday evening at 10 p.m. Eastern for All Things Reconsidered, the weekly program that takes a progressive look at the week in politics. For connection information and archives of all of my shows, point your browser to allthingsreconsidered.org. That's allthingsreconsidered.org.
Hello, I'm Martin Sheen. When I was growing up in Dayton, Ohio, I had an unforgettable mentor who believed in me and encouraged me to pursue my dreams. Today, there are millions of children across this country waiting for a mentor to help them. Improving the world starts with one child. Please, become a volunteer mentor for Mentoring USA. Give children the chance to develop and flourish and share in the future that belongs to them.
You know, the president came out and talked about the Iraq War and how he had a strategy to win the peace. I have some exclusive audio. This is actually him preparing for the speech in front of the mirror. This is him laying out the strategy for Iraq.
That was the most coherent thing I've heard him say in ages, man.
You know, if he really spoke that way, it would be so much better for us all. Because at least then we would know that he's an incoherent bastard. We could have him locked up.
And that's just a taste of what Bruce and I got up to last weekend. Come and join us next weekend, Saturday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. To get the stream details, go to fourthestateradio.com. That's fourthestateradio.com.
Staying with us. 25 before the hour. I'm Bob. This is Head On. A gentle reminder of the phone numbers. Phone number 877-443-2366 and of the email address bob@headonradio.com. An email from our pal David in South Carolina. Love the way you guys' mind works. Who was in charge on September 11, 2001, David writes? Who ignored at least 52 warnings that the attack was imminent? Who put priorities elsewhere? Whose administration was in control? Who allowed the planes to crash into the buildings? Why would anyone think this hapless bunch of idiots is keeping us safer? Next time one of these Republicans starts talking about how they keep us more secure, why not point out who was president when the 9/11 attacks happened? I've never heard a Democrat respond and point these facts out. Thanks, David. Nor have I. And the fact of the matter is, it requires a little bit of starch and it requires a little bit of guts and a little bit of gumption to just say, stop it. And to her credit, she's still a little too much of a warmonger for my taste. But to her credit, you know, Hillary said yesterday, they're trying to keep us terrified. And she's right. But we need to, you know, we do. We need to get in their face about it. Bless his heart, I guess it was a year and a half or so ago, my father was out getting his vehicle detailed. And down in Alabama, of course, well, if you've ever been there, you know. But this felt, you know, and again, it's another business that is permanently tuned to Fox. And the old redneck is down there, not my dad, and he turns to my dad and he says, "Thank God that George Bush is a taking care of us and keeping us safe." My father still talks about that. He said, "Oh, if I'd just been 20 years younger, I would have rat slapped him." Keeping us safe? Keeping us thinking that? No, they're not even. That's the thing. They're not even keeping us thinking that we're safe. They're keeping us thinking that we are constantly at risk. You know, and every now and then you'll hear a wingnut say, "Well, what about the Israelis? What about them Israelis? They get bombed all the time, and yet what? And yet they go about their business. They sit in their pizza parlors. They go to temple. They live their lives. They don't let terror own them." You know, from time to time, people will refer to George Bush as a fascist. And I think that may be the fundamental leanings of this gang. They've got real fascist tendencies, but they are the gang who can't shoot straight. They can't get it right. They're screw-ups. Mussolini made the railroads run on time. Hitler had almost zero unemployment in Germany. That's not praise, that's just acknowledgement of a fact. These guys can't even get that much right. It took Hitler and Mussolini and the fascists in Japan something on the order of 6 years to completely destroy their military machines via offensive war. George Bush has almost completely broken the American military in less than 3. We're still coming up on the 3rd anniversary of the Iraq War. And what are we reading day in and day out? And we're not, you know, not from a bunch of commie pinko lefty anti-war pacifist sissies. These are generals who are saying, guys, we're screwed. Military's broken. So, you know, you gotta wonder how much ignorance and incompetence the people of the United States are willing to tolerate. or is it directly proportional to the amount of ignorance and incompetence present in the United States itself? I happen to be clicking along last night. I think I was going from, like, South Park to the History Channel. And it was like going past just a terrible car wreck. I had to slow down and look because Flush Flimballs was actually on television. There's a reason he's not supposed to be on television. It's the same reason I'm not either. We both got faces made for radio. But he's got his lumbering bulk out to Pebble Beach for the pro-am golf tourney. And he's being interviewed by Neil Cavuto, and he said, "Well, Neil, my friend, people think that I've just created this army of automatized robots. But in fact, it wasn't that way. I simply filled a need in America. It wasn't that I taught people to believe the way I believe. It's that people were sitting there believing and knowing these things," and then the litany about what conservatives and, you know, everything, and you know, Mickey Mouse is a conservative and so is Jesus and all of that. "And so I provided them an opportunity to know that other people felt that way."
Blech.
But he's right in one regard. This country is absolutely chock-a-block full of racists and Nazis and Klansmen and skinheads and Aryan purity movements, and they are his listener base. And so he did, in fact, validate what they believe. Let's go to the phones real quick. Our buddy Bob from North Dakota is online. Hey, Bob, you're head on.
Hello.
How are you?
Hello, my friend. I am just incensed. I just, my mind is just full of rage, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like yours. But you say it better than I do. I know you do. Oh, goodness. There are so many of these people, but there are so many of us.
Right. I mean, that's the thing. We just we have this notion after 25 years of Limbaugh and that crowd that somehow we're isolated little, you know, just that we're all alone and we're sweating in the darkness.
We're just little piglets, right?
Well, I kind of, that's them.
Yeah, well, they want us to be them. See? They want us to be like them.
They want us to be the sheep that are blindly led to the Republican slaughter.
Yeah, yeah. Little sucklings. I'll tell you a story if you got a minute.
Yeah, sure.
About a man named Earl Steigoff.
Okay.
And he was head of security at a college that I attended. And I worked for him as a security officer. And he had, you know, a birthday. And we went down to the grocery store to get a cake for him. And I told him I wanted a pig cake, right?
Yeah.
Because we were all pigs in that day.
Right.
You know, because a pig is a pig, right? And we went back to get it, and they had a sow with lots of little piglets sucking on the teat, right?
Yeah.
And I said, "Dump it, I don't want that. I want a pig. I want a pig with a badge. I want a pig, you know, a boar pig with a badge," right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I wanted. And what the person envisioned was a pig.
A little pink pig.
Yeah, a pink pig, and I wanted a blue pig with a badge. So guess what?
What's that?
They dumped that cake, and they made me a pig cake with a badge and everything. You know, kind of a ugly little thing that had a snout, and it was a pig, like me.
How'd this go over with your boss?
Huh?
How'd this go over with the boss?
Oh, he loved the pig I got him. He didn't know about the pink one because I had him dump it. But see, everybody thinks that they're pigs. They think they're pigs. They think that they can just suck on the teat and they'll just get along and everything will go wrong, right?
Yeah.
But I want some real men, okay, like yourself. I don't know if I'm one of them, but I finally woke up after many years to realize that, hey, don't look for it from them. Take it from them. Go in there and get it. Okay?
Yeah.
Like, hey, when I brought that thing to Earl, he says, he was just proud. Yeah, oh, my boys brought me a pig cake, and I'm proud to be a pig. And Earl probably, I don't know if he ever listened to the show, but I hope he does, because I haven't talked to him in years, because I gave up that side after Nixon. And, you know, I was in there when Nixon resigned, and I guarded that thing. And he actually, you know, when we were guarding him, he brushed against me, and I just felt this chill go through me. You know, like, God, I've been touched by evil. But this thing up there, this little bunny pants bush is not as evil as those that control him.
I think you're absolutely right. But that is not to discount the level of evil that exists within him, Bob.
Oh, no. That thing is pure evil. It was born evil. It was like, I can't remember what his name was.
Yeah, like Damien evil.
Yeah, he kind of dropped out of the womb evil.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was just born that way. And there's no goodness in him. There's nothing decent. You can't, gosh, Cindy met him and it just broke her heart. And then she started fighting him. And she's been fighting him ever since. And Cindy is my sweetheart. We got a banner in the window up here. And people say, what's that? I said, well, we support Cindy Sheehan.
Absolutely.
We support her. Oh, my God. I would just love in this lifetime, before I'm a dead old grandpa, to have Cindy wrap her arms around me and give me one of her Cindy hugs. You know?
Yeah.
It's just one of them things. It's kind of like watching Evel Knievel go over the canyon.
Yeah, just one of those things you want to do in life.
Yeah. You know, or shake John Wayne's hand.
Yeah.
You know, not that you wanted to be John Wayne. You just would like to shake his hand. Or meet a real man. Not one of them fake ones, them funny ones. Cindy. Oh, God, I'd love her hug. And I would.
Well, there are real people out there, Bob, and I think you're touching on that. And we're, you know, there's a yearning for that in this country. We want a sense of connection with people who are undeniably real. Whether it's the raw grief of Cindy Sheehan or the fighting spirit of, well, I mean, I can't tell you how thrilled I was to meet Dennis Kucinich.
Fighting spirit of my man, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
What's his name? My man. I'm a white man like you, but what is my man's name?
Help me here. Are you talking about Martin?
Yeah. Luther King Jr. It isn't Martin Luther King. It's Martin Luther King Jr.
Because he was his father's son.
He is my man. And his darling. His sweet lady, and this filthy, filthy nation, what have they done? They have dissed him, disrespected him, they have disrespected her.
And have done everything in their power, and I guess I beat on it a little too much, Bob.
No,
but done everything in their power to re-ghettoize him and take away the absolute import of his message.
Yes,
you know,
they do.
You know, when
why do they do that, Bob?
Because that makes him not dangerous. He was killed because he was dangerous, Bob.
They fear him more than they fear him and his message more than they fear Osama.
Sure.
In the Forgotten One.
Yeah. They fear you more than they fear Osama. They fear me. We are what scares the terror camp of the Republicans.
The bejeebers out of them. They don't have any courage. They never have.
They sit up in a cold sweat at 3 o'clock in the morning, Bob, contemplating the idea that maybe the blinders will come off and the cataracts will fall away and the scales will come off our eyes and we'll realize how profoundly we've been used for 5 years now?
Going on six. But, hey, there were some of us back there in 2000 when, I think it was December 12th, 2000. Okay?
Yeah, I remember that day very well.
Oh, God, don't I.
Talk about a day that will live in infamy, Bob.
Yes, that's more infamous than, I don't know, what was the name, Franklin Delano Roosevelt's day in infamy. The day that will stain this planet was December 12th, 2000.
I think, you're right. You're right, Bob, because I think, I wonder about little children on swing sets in Fallujah or Najaf or Ramadi or Baghdad or Mosul. I wonder about little children in a swimming pool playing merrily along on December the 12th, 2000, never knowing that their death warrant was signed on that day, Bob. It was signed on that day.
By the Supreme Court of the land of America. By the Supreme Court, not by the voters, because we voted, and we voted for Al Gore.
Yeah.
Yes, we did. We did in a majority across, I mean, we're talking a majority across the nation.
A broad majority,
or a majority, in that state of Jeb Bush. Okay?
Yeah.
And now we're talking Bush.
But I don't know if people can envision things. I don't know if I'm just crazy sometimes, Bob. But I mean, I think about things like that. It's like time travel to me.
Yeah.
Can you imagine not a freezing day, a tolerable day, a December day in Iraq? And mothers walking with their little girls hand in hand, and 3 years later, their fathers would be picking individual limbs out of piles of rubble of what those little girls used to be. You know, is it any wonder that I'm absolutely convinced that William Rehnquist is toasting over a spit at a barbecue somewhere in hell right now?
No, they got him in a cold freezer. Waiting for me to meet him. And I meet him, I'm going to thaw that SOB out, and I'm going to roast him myself because I bought a ticket to that place.
Yeah.
A long, long time ago in a place so far away that I weep. I weep when I think about that.
Well, this ain't Gunga Din where Rudyard Kipling wrote that, talking about Gunga Din, he said he'll be sitting on the coals giving drink to poor damned souls, and I'll get a sip in hell from Gunga Din. This ain't that. There's nothing good about, the soul. If you buy into this kind of stuff about the soul or the spirit of Rehnquist, is there any doubt that when he finally goes on, when the batteries finally give out and he goes on to his reward, is there any doubt that Dick Cheney will go straight to hell, do not pass go, do not collect $200? Is there any doubt?
He's the next one on the spick after I get done with Rehnquist, okay?
I mean, I...
No, I mean it. I told my friends. Okay?
Yeah.
My old Republican.
But I have a feeling, Bob, to be quite honest with you, I have a feeling you're going to have to take a number, brother.
No.
Because there's going to be a lot of harsh justice meted out to a lot of people, a lot of Republicans who had nothing but mercy given them in their lifetimes.
I know.
Five deferments for Cheney. And he has the nerve to sit there and concur in the slaughter of over 100,000 innocents in Iraq.
What did he say to Murtha? What did he say about Murtha?
What did he say
about any man with courage? He runs them down. He denigrates them. He calls them what? cowards.
Yeah, and well, and then he gets more colorful with people like Pat Leahy. We know what he said in the well of the Senate, for God's sakes.
Yes, I don't know what he said to Leahy. I know what he said. I know the exact words, and I'm not going to.
No, but the point here is, this is how in God's name, Bob, how in God's name did we get to this place in this country where we will tolerate something like that out of the Vice President of the United States?
Cowardice.
Well, they had
not
help.
Not you, not me.
No, but they had help,
but
Bob. They had help.
The vast majority of this nation are cowed. They're cowed. And when you get cowed, you become a coward. Okay?
Yeah.
And they have drummed it into their head that they have no civic responsibility. There's no civics classes taught. We were taught civics from grade one back in the 50s, okay?
Yeah.
And we were taught civics right up through high school. We had a civics class. That means you have a responsibility to your, you know, to your, know what's going on.
To your community, your county, your state, your nation,
right.
And most of all,
first,
Bob, you've got the responsibility, though, starts with your responsibility to yourself.
It starts with your responsibility to those around you, not yourself. Because yourself, you know, if you're selfish and you keep it, yeah, that's the Bush thing. You know, I'm responsible for myself. No, I'm responsible for you, Bob. I am. I'm responsible for Agnes. I'm responsible for your children and your children's children's children.
And we all are. And Bob, if it should happen that this god awful $2.7 trillion Bush budget that he's put forward that does all these heinous things to the least among us, we're responsible for that too. We're responsible for that mother walking her child through a park in Baghdad when the bombs started falling.
We can't walk away from our responsibility. And we are every person, every human being on this planet that did not stop Bush in the first place are responsible for this thing. So now we have to take responsibility back and not give it to them. They want to be responsible. Oh, yeah, well, hey, we're going to take care of you. We're going to save you. We're going to protect you. No, they're not going to protect you. They're going to kill you. They're going to use you, and they're going to discard you. They're going to dump you in a waste heap of history and forget about you. So, okay, do you care about your children? Do you care about your children's children? Do you care about the future? If you do, then you're going to get on Bob Kincaid's bandwagon. I heard you at the beginning of this hour, and I probably burned past the last, I don't know, you probably need to get some of that ice for your big orange or whatever you're on right now. But the thing is, you got to get on this bandwagon, people. No, don't listen to Bob. Listen to me for a minute. You got to get on this bandwagon. Every one of us got to jump on the wagon, not fall off the wagon like George Bush did here a while back. I think it was the day he was born, he fell off the wagon. And he's been off the wagon ever since. And people that think, you know, hey, this man, he's a godly man. No, he's not a godly man. He's a goddamn creep.
He's a godless man.
Oh, no, he's a goddamn man. He's goddamned. He was goddamned at birth.
Yeah, and you're not swearing by.
I'm not swearing, literally damned by God.
I understand.
Allah has cursed this man until he shall burn in the. What did you say?
Yeah, God. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
But we got to hit the break, Bob.
Okay.
All right. Later, my brother.
Enjoy. I love you much. Bye.
Take care. Bye now. Understand that was not unmitigated swearing. Those were religious references. Let's do take a break. I do need ice. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
All righty, hour number two is underway. I'm Bob Kincaid. You riled, I'm riled. I want to share some information with you, though. Some stuff that rolled across the email during the last segment and during the break. Something passed along from our good friend Judy at Coal River Mountain Watch. An extremely vital and, God, such a dedicated organization working in concert with folks like the Ohio Valley Environmental Coalition, other great groups, the Highlands Conservancy here in West Virginia. And it turns out that the high and mighties have finally noticed that our mountains are being destroyed. So I encourage everyone tomorrow, oh, let's see, Eastern Time, 1:30 to 2 p.m., tune in to the Al Franken Show on Air America. If you've got a local affiliate, tune it in there. If not, well, pick it up online. AirAmericaRadio.com/listen. And a gentleman by the name of Eric Reese will be on the Al Franken Show to talk about the depredations being committed. The more or less genocide. Call it what it is, here in the Appalachians. Between 1:30 and 2 tomorrow on the Al Franken Show. You know, we don't have a show going from noon to 3. There's nothing wrong with me plugging some other network. The way I look at it, we're all in it together anyway. So give a listen. I'm going to try to do so. And, let's see. So that's that. And I got to go. I got to do that. Slow. Okay. Something from our pal, our good friend Sue in the UK. She had some of her own thoughts, you know, and what I was talking about with terrorism and fear. She shared some of her own thoughts with me. She said, "You're so right in what you're saying about terror." She said, "I include a post I made in a forum when the London bombings happened. Stand your ground in the presence of bullies." What she wrote is the following, and it's just good stuff. Get a grip. Terrorism is specifically designed to create panic and suspicion. Its aim is to divide a population and weaken a nation's resolve. Retaliation and knee-jerk responses acknowledge a threat and demonstrate our fear. Living a normal life despite terrorism, while our government uses intelligence gathering to combat it, is the logical defense. War requires a visible enemy, which we do not have, and venting anger on the innocent, i.e. Iraq, is like the school bully beating up the mate of the boy who got away. We are a nation of mixed race and always have been. The United Kingdom consists of 4 nationalities, and that's before one takes into account those who invaded us. The people of this country are from stock that has lived through great hardships and fought for the freedoms we have today. Not just against invaders and bombers, but our own rulers and governments. That is what makes us resilient, defiant, and downright, gotta help me here, Sue, bolshy. Bolshy? Bolshy? That's not in the North American vernacular, but I trust it means guts. We don't just vote for people and let them get on with the job, we make sure that they do it. The hardships of the past are what make us fight to keep the National Health Service and speak up for people that need help. There were many races and religions among those attacked in the London bombings, and ripped apart flesh lies together, not apart. Many families are grieving, irrespective of religion or color. We must stand together as we die together, or we will be the losers. Be vigilant. Speak out if you feel something is wrong. Watch each other's backs, and just be what your history has made you. I got the goosebumps running up and down the back of my neck right now. Be what history has made you. You know, we talked a little bit last night about the Muslim cartoon manufactured Fufra. And the newspaper that started it was the Yitland Morning Morgan Post, Morning Post. And, of course, that area of Denmark, Jutland, is so named for the Jutes. The Jutes. Who are one of those peoples that Sue referred to as having invaded Britannia. Angles, Saxons, Jutes, Danes, Norse, Celts, Picts. It goes on and on. And always, 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 they pick themselves up. This is a nation that lived through the Blitz. They know a little bit about not cowering in fear. And I don't mean to diminish for an instant what happened on September the 11th, but what it boils down to is four aircraft attacked the United States. Now, how that came to occur, I will leave to you for your contemplation. I've come to my own conclusions, and I don't believe that the Bush administration had clean hands in it. If by nothing other than pure negligence. You know, 52 warnings, presidential daily briefing, Osama determined to strike inside U.S. Well, you read it, Mr. President. I've got to go buy shoes, says Condi Rice. But we were attacked by four aircraft. And yeah, 3,000 people were killed. 3,000 tales of woe and misery and horror that could have been averted by nothing more than simple competence, if it was not a function of sheer, pure evil inside the United States to begin with. And out of that, people in Lee's Summit, Missouri, think that Osama's got another airliner with their name on it? People in Tulsa? People in Kokomo? Kalamazoo? Poughkeepsie? Somerset, Kentucky? Zip City, Alabama? Helen, Georgia? No. But we have certainly, oh Lordy, we have certainly been made to believe that, haven't we? We are the terror nation. We are the terrified nation. Sue added, a thought regarding political party loyalty. How many people are there who really consider their reasons for supporting a party at this moment in time and under the current circumstances? The documentary Century of Self is something that is worth watching because it allows a person, whatever their political allegiance, to understand the reasons often in our unconscious mind which influence decision. She adds, regarding the recent news on NASA and global warming, our government is taking it very seriously, and just recently, on receiving the official report they had requested, have announced that the situation is much seriouser than they thought. It really is unconscionable for the U.S. government to underplay something so serious when the future of the whole world is at stake. There will come a time, as I have said, on many occasions, there will come a time when little children, the world over, and it's already happening in the rest of the world, and it will happen here, rest assured, when little children, the world over, will spit on the ground at the mere mention of the name of George W. Bush. And they will have good reason in doing so. Very good reason. Good reason indeed. I want to Well, I don't know if this is shifting gears or not. It's a different topic to a certain extent. I'll tell you what, let's take a quick break. I'll gather my wits. You gather yours. I don't have to sit here and prattle on. If you've got a thought, share it. This is the front porch. Come on out. Grab your iced tea. Let's talk. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. Cousin Billy would take me walking out through the backyard. We go walking. Then he looked into my eyes. Lord knows to my surprise, the only one who could ever reach me was the son of a preacher man. The only boy who could ever teach me was the son of a preacher man. Yes, he was. He was. Yes, he was. Everything is all right. You kiss and tell me everything's all right. Can I get away again tonight? The only one who could ever reach me was the son of a preacher man. The only boy who could ever teach me was the son of a preacher man. Yes, he was.
Lying on the street. But it ain't so. Lots of homeless are just like me. Kids, moving from one shelter to the next. I'm not saying those other homeless don't need help. I'm just saying that we do too.
Speaking of thievery,
yes.
Just wanted to let you know that Alistair Cook, okay, last year, right?
Yes.
He died of lung cancer that spread to his bones. He was 95 years old. Apparently, his bones have been or were stolen. Apparently, there's a ring of people out there that steal bones. They steal these bones and they make dental implants. Apparently, now he had cancer all in his bones, right? But the people who stole the bones rewrote the paperwork to make it look like he died of a heart attack. So now there's somebody else walking around out there with his diseased, cancerous bones in their body.
That is freaky.
Yeah, I just thought it was so...
Oh my God.
I thought it was so ghoulish.
It just freaks me out. Anyway... Hey, don't forget to join Bruce and I Saturday, 10 p.m. Eastern Time for the next edition of Fourth Estate Radio. Get the streaming details at fourthestateradio.com. That's fourthestateradio.com.
Georgia, he was looking for a soul to steal. He was in a bind because he was way behind and he was willing to make a deal. When he came across this young man sawing on a fiddle and playing it hot, and the devil jumped up on a hickory stump and said, "Boy, let me tell you what. I guess you didn't know it, but I'm a fiddle player too. And if you'd care to take a dare, I'll make a bet with you. Now you play pretty good fiddle, boy, but give the devil his due. I bet a fiddle of gold against your soul because I think I'm better than you." The boy said, "My name's Johnny, and it might be a sin, but I'll take your bet and you're gonna regret, because I'm the best as ever been." "Johnny, you're rosin up your bow and play your fiddle hard, because hell's broke loose in Georgia and the devil deals in cards. And if you win, you get this shiny fiddle made of gold, but if you lose, the devil gets your soul." Up his case and he said, "I'll start this show," and fire flew from his fingertips as he rosined up his bow, and he pulled the bow across the strings and it made a evil hiss, and then a band of demons joined in and it sounded something like this.
Is this the part where Dick Cheney starts singing with a little demonic band? I knew Agnes must have had a reason for playing right-wing weirdo music, but, you know.
It all ties in.
Yeah, she's good that way. She's very good that way. Let's see. Let's go to the phones. Our good friend CB is with us. Hey, CB, you're head on.
Hey.
How are you?
We did the button right tonight.
Yeah, we're all buttoned up.
Oh, excellent. Well, you know, I've been listening to you reading the email from Sue in Great Britain, and it reminds me a lot of stuff that I've been saying online for a long time now. And actually, back in, 1990 or so, when my life was going very badly, I sat down with myself and I tried to pinpoint what was the root cause of all my problems. And it was fear.
Yeah.
It isn't just fear of the, you know, the great unknown, the bombers coming, or, you know, the fear that the government's whipping up. That's how come so many people just let all this go on and lap up all the excuses for it and talk about asterisks keeping us safe, is because most people are existentially terrified. You can't really be human and not be afraid, you know?
If you stop and think about it and make a good list of it, there's all kinds of good reasons that don't involve Arabs for not going out the door every day.
Exactly. And if you let that stop you, you don't have a life. And it's the same thing with the bombs coming down. It's the same things with all these forces that wish us ill. You know, we face it. We fight it. You know, sure we're afraid, but we always have to keep in mind that I have a sweetheart who is terrified of loving. So he loves and is in a constant state of terror about it. And I keep saying to the guy, you know, look at all those people out there who've been married forever and devoted to each other. Do you think they weren't afraid? Do you think that commitment wasn't scary for them? They made it anyway.
Yeah.
You know, they have to live every day with the thought that something bad's going to happen to somebody they love. You don't cower. You support. You stand up and you support each other.
And sometimes I just got a definition back from our friend Sue in the UK and our friend Andy in Wales. About that word that she used.
Great.
Bolshie?
Yeah.
Andy says it's stubborn and independent with a splash of raw aggression. And in turn, Sue says that it is being just downright bloody-minded when it comes to being pushed around. Might is not always right, and some things are worth dying for. What's life without freedom? So, yeah, there's a new word for our collective vocabulary, CB, because, you know, you talk about these fears, and, you know, sometimes you take the leap, you take the next step into the unknown territory. Sometimes it's like walking in the dark, and sometimes these people get up in front of you, and the only rational response is to bloody their daggum nose.
Yep, yep.
Because if you don't, you get swallowed up by the fear.
Exactly. And ever since that moment in 1990 where I realized about the fear ruining my life, I decided that wherever I felt fear, I was going to just fly right head on
yep.
in the face of it.
Sure.
And I did, you know, quaking as I went, you know, and I found out, guess what? I lived through it. And even if I don't, I died happy.
Yeah.
So, yeah. There was some years ago when I was fighting a passel of bad guys, very bad guys, all by myself. Everybody else in my community was, you know, shaking their heads about it and, ooh, this is terrible, but nobody do anything. So I jumped out of my skin and did something. And miraculously, I prevailed. But the whole time, everybody's saying, you got to get a gun. You got to get dogs. Aren't you afraid? They're going to come and get you. And I just told everybody in my life, if something happens to me, don't you mourn. You know, I died doing the right thing.
Yeah. Grieve for the dead and fight like hell for the living.
Exactly. You know, life itself is what we are, and that is definitely worth dying for.
Well, right, and the fear part is absolutely debilitating. It, when you realize that you've survived it, you weren't afraid of the thing, you were afraid of the fear.
Yeah. And you know,
if that makes any sense at all.
Well, you know, I grew up hearing things like "give me liberty" or "give me death," and I regret that I have but one life to live to give for my country, and the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. But, you know, people that just sort of let their brains slide right over the top of the actual meaning of that. You know, people yell at me about that bumper sticker that says guns don't kill people, people kill people.
Uh-huh.
And I keep reminding everybody, that's true.
Yeah.
You know, don't skip over that.
No, it's got meaning. It's got depth. It's got, well, it's one of those things. It's almost like one of those Zen koans that you have to really ponder to get the sense and the depth of. You know, what is the sound of one hand clapping? I still haven't sorted that one out.
Well, if you ever want any help, you just get on the email or on the telephone to me, because I'm a Zen person. I've been doing it for many moons.
Well, it makes so much sense, because you have pondered these things. The only thing we have to fear is fear itself is an awfully doggone deep expression.
Yes.
You know, it's not just something for fourth graders. It's a way to, you know, those were medicinal words to a nation that was scared to the very roots of its foundation.
Yeah, wouldn't it be so wonderful to have a president who could say that to us again, instead of this pipsqueak?
Go shopping.
Yeah, go shopping.
FDR, the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. George Bush, go shopping.
Yep.
Jeez.
Yeah.
It makes your head hurt, doesn't it?
It sure does. And my heart. And earlier today, or late last night, I, you know, caught on to this Liberty Coalition thing. A bunch of liberals and conservatives are out there trying to get a special prosecutor for the wiretapping thing. And I got all excited about it. I want everybody everywhere to jump on that bandwagon and stir up the people.
Yeah.
Like before, and everybody's wandering off.
Yeah, well, you know, we're CB. We're liberals. I mean, this is we're pushing a wheelbarrow full of frogs. We're herding the cats across a parking lot.
We sure are. You know, I couldn't believe that there wasn't hardly a spark of.
I mean, you know, you're talking to a group of liberals, and you're like, you know, freedom, you know, freedom is being undermined. We are under attack, and you know, and collectively, the liberals trying to look a squirrel.
Yeah. Yeah, that they're. It's your syntax or whatever.
Yeah,
you know?
The attention span of a kitten.
Yeah.
Thread. Oh my God, I got to bat the thread.
It's upsetting me.
but the thing is, all you can do is keep on.
Well, and I'm sure trying.
We all are. I think you're absolutely right. There should be a hue and cry across this country for a special prosecutor. And I know, CB, I know the right wing is tired of listening to liberals compare everything to Bill Clinton, but we spent $70 million. Now, I mean, and it's all perspective. We spent $70 million on Ken Starr.
Yeah.
And we're getting ready to cut a neonatal hearing program that costs 10. And we can't have a special prosecutor to find out whether or not George Bush is tap dancing his way across the Fourth Amendment. you want to talk about your Zen? There's your Zen.
Yeah.
I mean, that's mind-blowing stuff. I mean, that'll get you outside your own skull just thinking about a nation that cuts a hearing program for newborns and spends $70 million on a pornographic sexcapade.
Yeah. Well, I'm actually having a battle with myself whether it's smarter to be out there rabble-rousing, trying to get this battle fought, or to just find myself a good, safe place and try and wait it out, try and pick up the pieces and grow a new civilization after it's over. That sounds kind of apocalyptic, but that seems to be what these guys are aiming for.
It is. I mean, I forget who the guy's name is, but there's a very famous, venerable, 52 years on the street, Wall Street trader who went out. Somebody sent me the article, and I can't remember his name now. But, I mean, this guy is a huge conservative, you know, money dude. And he said, you know, we're 10, 15, 20 years from the apocalypse once all this comes down around our shoulders.
Yeah.
And Wall Street, like, you know, got out the, you know, started running the warm bath and getting the razor blades on what he said. You know, dropped like 52 points in a day over just mentioning that. But, you know, you're not crazy for thinking that there's apocalyptic stuff around the corner. We've got one listener, Gary, who refers to it as a gigantic, multifaceted paradigm shift.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then there's just what Dr. Hunter S. Thompson said. And that was big darkness soon come.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think you got to do a little bit of both, CB.
Yeah.
Raise the rabble, because in doing that you will find out whom you can trust, and then those are the people you work with to be ready for the big darkness when it soon comes.
I think that's why my ears started vibrating so hard when I first heard you on the radio, Bob.
Yeah. Now all we got to do is triangulate and figure out how we all work together in disparate locations. You know, it's kind of hard to have a million person march of one, but by God, we're trying.
Well, you know, I'm working on that. I'm thinking on it hard.
Well, so. I tell you what, you keep at it, and I appreciate your good words on the blogs, and I appreciate your calls, and my God, what fun conversation.
Thanks.
Thank you so very much, and have a wonderful night.
You too.
Bye now.
Bye, Bob.
Okay, a quick break, and then we come back to the phones. We didn't have our Cup of Joe report last night, and I felt kind of java-less, but we've got it for tonight, and it's on the way. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. I remember them being here before. Smell of perfume is in here. White lipstick on the mirror. And still I don't understand. No pictures left in the hall. There's three new holes in my wall. Where the hell's my credit cards? What's my wallet?
It's the Cup of Joe Report. I'm Joe Vecchio. While the Republicans have declared war on scientific reality, the Democratic Party and their financial backers live in denial of political reality. Our so-called leadership clearly doesn't understand what kind of opponent they're facing in their Republican counterparts, and is even more clueless when it comes to understanding what they need to do to combat the propaganda machine the right's been building for the last 30 years. Every day, the right-wing message goes out to people in their workplace, in their homes, and in their cars. It's easy to call many of these people morons, and many of them are, but much of it is that they're simply misinformed. To people like the Republicans, lying is just a means to an end, and these people make perfect targets. But instead of funding groups to counter that message, the financiers of the left sit in their hands or waste their money on the kind of activism that's pretty meaningless. Lobbying, for example, for George W. Bush to put someone other than a political crony in charge of PBS. Even if they managed to accomplish that, what good would it do? The Republicans will eventually be brought down because, to them, political reality trumps all other forms of reality. If nothing else, the rest of the world simply won't put up with it, and will face a huge international backlash, either economically or militarily. And it'll be poor Americans who, as usual, will suffer the worst of it. Much of that could be avoided if only our so-called leaders on the left would face up to America's political reality. Now, get back to work This has been the Cup of Joe Report by Joe Vecchio. Listen to the Cup of Joe radio show, available via streaming audio at cupojoe.blogspot.com.
You could lose your job, you could get burned out, you could get thrown out. I mean, there's so many different reasons.
We had the attitude that it just can't happen to us.
A chair was a bed. That was your home. If you touch someone's chair, forget it.
I never thought I'd be homeless. I didn't grow up saying, oh, I want to be homeless.
You just never thought you would ever say, I'm homeless.
Before the hour, halfway through tonight's Thursday night edition. I didn't mean to theme the show up the way I did. Had some great conversation on the topic of the coward nation, however. What a shame. I don't think America has ever been a coward nation before in its entire existence. And yet one coward leader can reduce us all to a coward state if we allow it to happen. Let's go straight to the phones. Bruce is with us from North Carolina. First day with the rented lips.
Hey, Bob.
How you doing, Bruce?
Doing great, man.
North Carolina. You got your Viking helmet on?
No, I don't. Is there a reason why? Okay. We had our rally today.
Did you?
In support of the guys that got arrested last week.
The Greensboro 7?
A week ago Tuesday, yeah. And had over 100 people turn out, and really a fantastic event, Bob. We wish you could have been there.
Oh, I would have loved to have been there. You managed to do this without the Greensboro police losing their minds and rioting again?
We figured if we took it to their front doorstep, they wouldn't be as pissed off at us.
And that's what you did?
And that's what we did.
How did it go? I mean, what went down?
Well, we gathered up about 4:30, right around right around quitting time in downtown, and had about a little over 100 students, and actually a lot of people came out in their suits and ties, right out of offices. Just a rally, some speakers, including Nelson Johnson, who was a big push behind the Greensboro Truth and Reconciliation Commission, which is an organization that was created to try to figure out the truth about the 1979 massacre here in Greensboro.
Right.
And so we had a lot of great speakers. The guys and the gal themselves showed up and spoke, and the police never came out once. We didn't see a cop the entire time. Of course, they were right behind the glass doors. After it got dark, you could see there was like 50 of them back there waiting to,
with their little faces pressed up against the window pane.
Yeah, yeah. But it went off really well, and there was probably, I don't know, maybe 3 or 4 television crews there, and a bunch of print media and radio.
Well, you got to wonder if the Greensboro newspaper will call this one ugly again, like they did the last one.
Well, the funny thing is that the very same guy who wrote that editorial showed up and was there for the first part of this. And it was very, and actually he went right back to his office, and it's actually on the News and Record website. If you look under the blog for Doug Clark, he's the guy who wrote that editorial, and it's really interesting because he said in his what he wrote this afternoon, he said, gosh, they look just like normal people.
Oh my God.
except for him. Where was the only freak there?
Yeah, where was all the dope smoking and the heroin and the Satan worshiping?
Yeah, where was all the cat skinning and oh my gosh. So anyway, but it was a fantastic event, and the guys, you know, I mean, one of them actually got visibly choked up with all the support. He just, you know.
Well, they, I mean, I can only assume, Bruce, that they know they are in a fight.
Yes, they are. And they're very well aware.
I hope none of these seven decide that they get tired of it and decide to go and cop a plea on it, because this has overtones. You know, at this point, they're not just symbols. They are they're marker posts to the future.
Yeah.
If the Greensboro PD is allowed to get away with this, then the next time it'll be even worse.
Yeah. Well, you know, the crazy thing in it, you know, we've been doing this, you know, here in Greensboro, this has been all over the local blogs and all over the lips of everyone. You know, it's been huge discussions about it. And the thing is, the biggest thing that we've been concerned about mostly isn't so much the fact that they take pictures, because they do that pretty much everywhere, but it's what they do with those pictures. What do they do with them, Bob?
File them, subject them to face recognition software, who knows?
You know? And even in this Mr. Clark's blog today, he started trying to make that appear as if that were tinfoil hat supposition, to think that, you know, these pictures would be shared perhaps with the Department of Fatherland Security.
Oh.
You know, or Homeland Security, or whatever they want to call it. You know,
yeah.
I mean, you know, how dare we actually draw a connection?
Oh, I know, and I mean, especially given the fact that, what was his name, Detective Cuthbertson?
Cuthbertson.
Especially given the fact that he what was he in charge of? Gangs?
Yes, the Anti-Gang and Anti-Terrorism Task Force. And he is supposed to be a nationally known expert on gangs and, you know, gangs like the Democratic Party.
Well, gangs like the black guys on the Greensboro Police Department.
Yeah, oh, those guys, the 19, oh, yes, yes. The little black book. You know, the neatest thing, and I want to just say this because I think this is showing the broadness of our support. The Greensboro Pulpit Forum, which is an African-American organization of ministers, 119 members strong, came out yesterday, wrote a letter. You know, they capitalized on the recent thing that we, you know, did with the activities with the Greensboro 7, and wrote this scathing editorial toward the Greensboro Police Department for spying on black citizens, which is what they were doing. You know, there were 19 police officers they were spying on, but there was 100 more black people in that book.
Right.
Okay. So, you know, we are finding this to really turn out to be a broad-based, I mean, you know, of course, what we're looking at was the more national implications. But the bottom line is that I think they're tied, and the reason why I think that they're tied is because any police force or any entity, governmental entity, that finds that it can spy locally, you know, or that has been given money through the Patriot Act via, you know, Homeland Security for surveillance, can turn around then and use that money to surveil whomever it wants. You know, and what do you end up with? You end up with
a spy state.
A spy state. You know, and you know what, Bob? To me, that is terrorism. I'm sorry, but it is.
It's absolute
terrorism.
It is domestic. It's domestic terrorism. It's terrorism from the inside out, and it poses a greater risk to our constitutional system of government than anything Osama might ever hope to do. I mean, we are prevented. We are not permitted. We're not allowed, Bruce, to have that really, you know, straight up heart-to-heart talk that we need to have about terrorism. All we get, you know, they're going to have a dirty bomb. Or they might release some toxic nerve agents.
Yeah.
But the science on those toxic nerve agents is such that... How can I say this without being callous? It's hard to kill very many people with those things unless you can, you know, do the whole Nazi thing with the cattle cars and the showers and, you know, run them in.
Right.
Even with the, what was it? Was it ricin or sarin or whatever that was released in the Tokyo subway? There was tragedy that struck for 30-some people.
Yeah.
In a subway. I mean, you can't get much more enclosed than that.
Or more, 20, you know, tens of thousands.
Yeah. The fact of the matter is, it's what CB was talking about. It's the fear of the fearful thing.
Well, I have a question for you, Bob.
All right.
Last night, as I'm driving to my local activist meeting that I do on Wednesday, that makes me miss your show and makes me, you know, kind of pissed off about that. I'm going to this meeting, and I tune into the radio, and I hear this thing about senators being sequestered under the Russell Senate Office Building because of the possibility of a nerve agent being detected in the attic of that building. You heard about this, right?
Yeah.
Did you also read this morning that Republican senators magically reached compromise on the Patriot Act?
I did notice that. I didn't draw those two dots together, though.
Now, when the Patriot Act, now I don't want to, like, you know, draw too many conclusions here, but when the Patriot Act came up for approval the first time around, at the same time was when the anthrax
hit. Sure.
And I'm sorry, but it just seems a little too dang convenient.
Well, it is. Oh, and what, you know, the dots I connected last night, and of course this was before I knew that they had all been herded into the garage, was that, you know, Hillary had come out earlier that day and said that the Republicans were using the terror card, and that all they had, you know, that because they were so devoid of any ideas, that all they had was terror for America, that they had nothing else to offer. And so they constantly played on our fears and our trepidations. And then bang.
Yep.
And where has it happened? The Senate, the Russell Senate Office Building. But your point is equally well taken, Bruce.
You know. And we're going to see more of that. You know, we have, you know, as I said before, we have a nation that is being taught to walk around in a panic. You know, I think, I read recently that antidepressants were at an all-time high, that they're, you know, handing these things out like candy to people. Because they're not able to live under the stress and the panic and the fear and all the stuff that's being heaped upon them.
But when all they have to realize, Bruce, is that you can be a refusenik on this.
Yeah, absolutely.
You can refuse to participate in it. You can absolutely refuse to be subjected to this kind of terrorism. You can win by just living your life. And I don't know. I don't know why that's.
If you don't go out and buy some stuff, the terrorists win.
I know. I haven't. I am un-American. I'm unpatriotic. I have not bought near enough plastic sheeting and duct tape.
I haven't bought any, man. I just figure if it's coming, it's coming. And I've had a good life, man.
No, but see, that's the thing. If you do that, then you're fatalistic like Jean-Paul Sartre, according to Pat Robertson. And you live a hopeful life because you ain't got Jesus.
Well, now there's a guy I want to get my advice from.
I could say, but no.
Osama bin Robertson.
Yeah, that exactly. Oh my God! But honest again, yeah. He said 2 or 3 days ago that Europe is committing racial suicide because they're not having enough babies for Jesus.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I'm thinking, how long is it going to be before they finally pull him off the air? You know, you remember those long canes they used to have to pull people off the stage with?
Yeah.
I want to see that happen on the 700 Club. Just yank him right out of the chair.
No, they're going to chase him down with a stun gun. Woo! Jesus! You know.
Stun gun and a big vial.
And a net. A net. Come along now, Marion. It's time for your nap. Oh, but the walls are melting.
Well, so things are going well in Greensboro, and we're gonna keep the pressure on down here. And
good.
We have formed a separate defense committee of citizens that are, you know, that are taking up the cause of these guys, trying to build, you know, greater, wider support. And
well, what about your World Can't Wait chapter down there? I mean, are they energized with all of this?
Absolutely.
Is there more stuff planned?
Oh yes, we have. There's going to be. Well, as far as World Can't Wait itself, we meet every week, but we are planning on. Oh, and here's another thing. I just wanted to sort of throw this at you. It was really funny because, you know, we talked about espionage or spying a little while ago.
Mm-hmm.
Well, last night in our meeting, we mentioned that these guys would be parking their cars and driving from one or walking from one location to the City County Plaza where we had the event. Well, instead of doing that, they went somewhere else. But wouldn't you know the cops were waiting in that one location for them?
No kidding.
Yes.
And I mean, were there a couple of guys in black suits with skinny lapels and skinny ties?
Oh yeah.
In the back of the room, just kind of. I mean.
No. They weren't in the back of the room. Apparently, one of our people saw him outside. We think the room probably was
bugged.
Being listened in on. So yeah, it's just crazy. I mean, you know, political dissent. Now you may as well be a terrorist group in their eyes, and that's just.
Well, and may as well you are. I mean, you might as well come to grips with it, Bruce. To them, you are. If you're not a full blown terrorist, you are right next door to one. You're a disruptor.
A disruptor.
Seriously. I mean, that's the new catchphrase, with the whole homeland crowd. You're a disruptor. You don't love George Bush nor Jesus Christ near serious enough.
Well,
I joke, but I mean that's the way they are.
If I find myself on a list with the likes of Martin Luther King and Cornel West, and
yeah, you're in good company.
Then I'm in damn good company, and I'll be proud to say.
I'd say the list you're on right now is the one that says he ain't getting on that airplane.
Well, I'm not going to tell you where I need to fly to in April, but I'm sure they probably already know that.
Yeah, they do. They do. Bruce, so good to hear from you. Keep up the fight. Keep up the good work. Anything lined up special for this weekend?
No, nothing this weekend. I think we're all going to take the weekend off and kind of relax a little bit down here, you know.
How about Fourth Estate and All Things Reconsidered?
Oh, okay. On those shows, yes, obviously there's always something going on. There'll be some highlights from today's protest, probably on Fourth Estate. We'll see. But the shows are still going, so do tune in.
All right.
Thank you, sir.
Take care.
Have a great night.
You too.
Bye.
That's our good buddy Bruce Birch, co-host of Fourth Estate Radio, fourthestateradio.com, 10 o'clock Saturday night, and host all on his own of All Things Reconsidered on Sunday night at 10 p.m., allthingsreconsidered.org. We run a bunch of promos for him. You need to be there. We'll be there. We're going to have a whole bunch of fun. Let's see. Coming up on 7 minutes before the hour, story was sent to me with regard to Scooter Libby. Have you followed this? It turns out that Scooter is going to roll on Bionic Dick Cheney. Yeah, he's part and parcel of his defense at trial in 2007 after the elections. Isn't that convenient? His defense is going to have to do with the fact that he was informed about Valerie Plame's identity by his boss, Dick Cheney, and that he was instructed and encouraged by Cheney to share classified information with reporters, according to sources familiar with the case who tell that to NBC News. And the Libby defense team is saying, "Oh, this is all a bunch of hooey." But it turns out that this is straight from the article. A cryptic reference to the conference call and the alleged Cheney role emerged a few days ago when a series of letters between Patrick Fitzgerald, the special prosecutor in the case, and Libby lawyer John D. Klein were released by the court. Klein wrote to Fitzgerald, and this is a quote, "As we discussed during our telephone conversation, Mr. Libby testified in the grand jury that he had contact with reporters in which he disclosed the content of the National Intelligence Estimate in the course of his interaction with reporters in June and July of 2003. We also note that it is our understanding that Mr. Libby testified that he was authorized to disclose information about the NIE to the press by his superiors." He only had two superiors. Superior number one was Dick Cheney. Superior number two, and I do mean number two, was George Bush. Or maybe reverse that order if it makes you feel better. But then again, Bill Jeffress, who is also a Libby attorney, said, "There's no truth at all to the story that Mr. Libby's lawyers have advised the court or special counsel that he's going to raise a defense based on authorization by superiors." It's in writing! It's in writing! You know, this is not a crowd that none of these people is anyone you would trust at your back in a dark alley, because they would be as likely to put the shank in you as some bad guy. All it takes is one. That's the way it was with Watergate, too. All it took was one. Remember what Deep Throat told Woodward and Bernstein? Follow the money. Well, in this case, you follow the treason. And Scooter Libby is not going to go up all by himself and not take some people with him. And he's going to roll. And he may very well break Omerta. After all, this is an organized crime operation, and Omerta is the vow of silence that they all take. But it looks like Scooter is going to break Omerta. And what's more, Brownie, you're doing a heck of a job. Apparently Brownie is blackmailing the White House, saying he too will break Omerta. We'll talk about that when we come back. Also, a little bit of nastiness as Glenn Beck warms up for his non-controversial stint on CNN Headline News. And, like I promised, absolute cross-eyed bug-sprayed craziness from the American Family Association. This ain't going to be no ordinary third hour, is it ever? This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
If you believe in that God, and if you believe in those spiritual tenets, as 80% of these people that I just read in this poll supposedly say they believe in them, you know, is that fantasy world, or is that real world? I mean, if they really believe in those tenets, if they really believe in that religion, if they really believe in that Christ, then why do we have a war going on? And why do we have people starving? And why do we have people homeless? And why do we have, you know, all of this injustice in society? And why are African Americans killed at three times the rate of white Americans in our prisons in execution chairs? I'll tell you why. Because we have a long way to go to make this society an equitable one. We have a long way to go to create the kind of society that our spiritual principles tell us we need to have. Hey, this is Bruce Birch, and I'd like to invite you to join me each and every Sunday evening at 10 p.m. Eastern for All Things Reconsidered, the weekly program that takes a progressive look at the week in politics. For connection information and archives of all of my shows, point your browser to allthingsreconsidered.org. That's allthingsreconsidered.org. You know, the president came out and talked about the Iraq War and how he had a strategy to win the peace. I have some exclusive audio. This is actually him preparing for the speech in front of the mirror. This is him laying out the strategy for Iraq.
That was the most coherent thing I've heard him say in ages, man.
You know, if he really spoke that way, it would be so much better for us all. Because at least then we would know that he's an incoherent bastard. We could have him locked up.
And that's just a taste of what Bruce and I got up to last weekend. Come and join us next weekend, Saturday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. To get the stream details, go to fourthestateradio.com. That's fourthestateradio.com.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Bob.
All righty, like I said, no ordinary third hour of the program for this Thursday night. I'm Bob Kincaid. And where do we start? Let's get Brownie out of the way. Looks like he's breaking Omerita, too. From the Associated Press, former disaster agency chief Michael Brown is indicating he's ready to reveal his correspondence with President Bush and other officials during Hurricane Katrina, unless the White House forbids it and here's the kicker, offers legal support. Brownie is blackmailing the White House. Really? You're not so heck of a job anymore there, Brownie. This is all based on a letter obtained Wednesday by the Associated Press, and it follows senators' complaints that, surprise, surprise, the White House is refusing to answer questions or release documents about advice given to Bush concerning the August 29th storm.
What advice? What advice could he get? He was getting guitars and cutting cakes and playing golf and cutting brush. He didn't get any advice. That's why they're stonewalling. Well, you know, he was kind of asleep at the switch, okay? I mean, it was September 11th all over again.
This is a quote from the letter from Andrew W. Lester. He says, unless there is specific direction otherwise from the president, including an assurance the president will provide a legal defense to Mr. Brown if he refuses to testify as to these matters, Mr. Brown will testify if asked about particular communications. Brown's desire, quote, is that all facts be made public. Oh, this is frightening. This is just frightening. This is terrifying. Poor Brownie. You remember, Brownie was the head of the Judges Association for the Arabian Horse Association. They're going to put one of those horses' heads in his bed. It's like Randy Rhodes so often says, to understand the Bush administration, you really have to become a student of the Godfather trilogy, especially 1 and 2. Michael Brown, message for Michael Brown. Stay off small aircraft. They'll Wellstone you, Brownie. Senator Joe Lieberman, Democrat. Why do they still do that? Of Connecticut, who blasted the White House last month. Yeah, when have we ever heard Lieberman blast the White House? For what he called attempts to stonewall the Senate inquiry, said he expects Brown, now a private citizen, quote, to answer every question the committee puts to him truthfully. Droopy. He is. He's Sheriff Droopy. I see no basis for him to refuse to answer any of our questions, and I hope the White House will not try to direct him not to answer our questions. Now, Andrew Lester wrote, Mr. Brown is going to testify before Congress. If he receives no guidance to the contrary, we'll do as any citizen should do, and that is to answer all questions fully, completely, and accurately. The letter set a 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time deadline yesterday for the White House to reply to Brown, and that deadline passed without a response, Lester said. Poor Brownie. We barely knew ye. Poor Brownie. Now,
I mentioned this business with Glenn Beck. I've got about 4 minutes worth of a Glenn Beck diatribe here in all its hateful glory. You remember Glenn Beck, of course. Glenn Beck has been hired by CNN Headline News because of his non-controversial style and his abilities as an entertainer. Right? Right. Well, turns out, well, he was warming up that entertainment style yesterday on his radio show. You remember, of course, we played it here on the show when Beck said that he wanted to strangle Michael Moore. Remember that? I don't understand these right-wingers with their killing fantasies. I honest to God don't. You know, we might joke about what's going to happen to someone once they die and go to hell. That's a lot different from actively wanting to send them there. Well, Glenn Beck is now after the single most moral man who inhabited the White House in pretty much probably the entirety of the 20th century. It's disgusting. Agnes started.
I could have used that skin, making somebody of value. You know, I could have used that skin in such a better way, you know?
Skin.
And it's not, the reason why I bring this up is there a bigger waste of skin than Jimmy Carter? No, I don't mean to, you know, I don't mean to look the maker in the eye and say, yeah, kind of a waste. By masking, do you think he ever thinks, I don't know, man, I could have used that skin someplace else.
This man calls himself a
Who's
Christian.
Who's the bigger waste of skin? Can you name a bigger, you know, and you could immediately go to people like Kim Jong-il. Okay, there's a big waste of skin, but not really. Because his skin's being utilized by evil. At least evil is using that skin. Who's using the skin of Jimmy Carter? What purpose does the skin of Jimmy Carter... It's like an empty suit walking down the street. I'm telling you, I think Jimmy Carter is the luckiest man on earth. Because he's still walking around. And he was president of the short-term memory country.
You got that? Glenn Beck actively threatening the life of Jimmy Carter. Glenn Beck actively asking his audience, inciting his audience to go and kill Jimmy Carter. How many, Glenn, buddy, how many houses have you built for poor people? How many places have you been to make sure that fair and clean elections took place at your own peril? How many years have you spent teaching Sunday school? How many sleepless nights have you spent worrying about the well-being of this nation, you sick punk? You sad hypocrite. Why is Jimmy Carter still walking around, he asks. Why isn't the Secret Service, who is still attached to Jimmy Carter, not dragging Glenn Beck away in chains? You will not, I'm no darn fool, you will not hear me threaten the life of George Bush or call for anyone to visit violence upon George Bush. I want that man removed from office. Make no mistake about it. But I want it done through the legal and peaceable means that the founders of this nation and the framers of our Constitution set forth in that document for removing madmen from office. I have real questions about to say that I have questions about the state of the media today, that's carrying coals to Newcastle. But why am I not reading news stories still about the millions upon millions upon millions of letters and emails that have gone to CNN Headline News demanding to know what in God's name they were thinking when they hired this insider to murder? What were they thinking? And why am I not reading that story? Why is it still being said that he's going to be on CNN along with Bingo Billy, kill all the black babies and bring peace to America, Bennett? Why? I don't want anything bad to befall Glenn Beck. I want him to go to church every day that the doors are open, because it's pretty obvious, and hopefully a different church, because it's obvious that the one he is going to is failing him in a mighty big way. Oh, he's all born again and saved and stuff. Yeah, sure, you betcha. And some right-wing gospel sharp shakes his hand every Sunday morning and says, golly dang there, Glenn, that sure was a funny thing you said the other day about how Jimmy Carter was a waste of skin and you was a questioning God Almighty for why he was a still walking around. That was funny, my Christian brother. Let's hear a little bit more of this sick diatribe.
He's still walking around, and he was president of the short-term memory country.
Yeah, well, you know what I mean? He loves America.
Here we are. We have no long-term memory at all. We're sitting here with short-term memory. We're like, hey, he was a president or something, wasn't he? Yeah, I have peanut farmer. I remember that. You don't seem to remember anything. Here he is, a guy who's, you know, busting us on Iraq, saying that we should negotiate with Hamas and listen to them and blah, 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 blah. You know, maybe, Jimmy, we wouldn't be in this problem.
Wait for it.
I don't know. You didn't have the helicopters burn in the middle of the desert.
Stop it. Agnes, stop it.
If you wouldn't let the whole
Do you get that? We wouldn't be in this mess if Jimmy Carter had just had the common sense to nuke those ragheads, to kill those not quite as white as us people. Isn't that funny? He's a humorist, you know that? The right wing thinks he's a humorist. But it's like everything else that passes for humor on the right wing. It has to involve a death threat against someone who disagrees with them! I'm sick of it. I'm tired of it makes me feel dirty to play this kind of crap on this show. But you need to know, I need to know, we need to know what we are damned well up against. An out-of-control president who believes that he can just make up the law as he goes along. And a gang of black-hearted minions who think it's funny to suggest that we are where we are because we didn't kill enough of those people. The doofus blamed Jimmy Carter for the fact that our American military sucked up a bunch of sand in their helicopters and the mission didn't go off. as if Jimmy Carter was there heaving the sand into the air. Do you, our friend CB writes, I'm screaming. The sad thing is, CB, everybody, there aren't enough people screaming. This is absolutely and utterly astonishing to me. Agnes, dear, would you move the cursor up a little bit? Let's see. Yeah, there we are. I didn't have the stomach to cut this into sound bites. It was disgusting.
Busting us on Iraq, saying that we should negotiate with Hamas and listen to them and blah, 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 blah. You know, maybe, Jimmy, we wouldn't be in this problem if, I don't know, you didn't have the helicopters burn in the middle of the desert.
He had them burn in the middle
of the
desert.
If you wouldn't let the whole Islamic Revolution thing happen in the first place.
Yeah, because
what
he
do
made
you say,
that.
James?
Yeah, he made the Islamic
Is there
Revolution.
A bigger waste of skin than Jimmy Carter? Here's how much of a waste of skin this guy is. Bill Clinton, a guy who had sex in the Oval Office, not just sex, was down rolling around on the bathroom floor, not the Oval Office.
You knew they had to get around to Bill Clinton, didn't you?
And curtains and stuff. Rolling around on the bathroom floor with a fat intern and a cigar, okay? Got that beautiful picture in your head? That standing next to Jimmy Carter, giving one speech after another, Bill Clinton looks like the classy one. How's that possible? That's what a waste of skin Jimmy Carter is. Bill Clinton looks classy.
You getting this?
I'm trying to put it, dear.
I could start screaming right now. I got very upset. What was it? Last Friday night, by an email from someone supposedly on our side, who asked the question, "What has a black person ever done for me?" Well, what's a white guy? I mean, this guy's a real white bread, pure Aryan soul, you know? What's he doing for America? He's drawing his breath and his pay. Do you understand that in Glenn Beck's world, America is just fine and dandy like it is? In Glenn Beck's world, in right-wing hate radio world, in Michael the Savage Wiener's world, in O'Reilly's world, in Flush's world, in the Hannity Jobs world, everything is hunky-dory. There are no hungry people if you don't hear of hungry people. There are no homeless people if you don't see the homeless people. Young Army officers aren't charged for their body armor before they can be discharged from the Army if you don't hear about them. This is how do you characterize this? This is the world of the addict. This is the world of the junkie. This is the world of the terrified. What was it? Nietzsche said, that which does not kill us makes us stronger. Probably a load of philosophical hooey. But with these people, what we do not see makes us happier. And we get a real giggle out of trying to incite the murder of an ex-president of the United States. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the outcry if I came on this program and started calling George H.W. Bush a bag of skin and said, you know, sometimes I talk to God and I ask God, well, God, don't, I mean, I'm not questioning God or nothing, but, you know, sometimes do you just look down and say, wow, what a waste of skin that George H.W. Bush was? You know where I'd be. You know. Halliburton has a contract to build camps in this country for people like me and people like you. And what you're hearing there in the form of Glenn Beck is the future, if we don't stop it, if we don't take back the airwaves. Why do the stations that carry him? Now, I'm gonna talk in a little bit about this the American Family Association. They've got another one of these things set up where you can send automatic FCC complaints if you happen to see the booby o' death on the television. They don't, however, have an automatic FCC complaint form set up for madmen like Glenn Beck. Homicidal madmen like Glenn Beck. They don't have a complaint form for that. You're a liberal, you're a progressive, you're literate, and you're intelligent, and you've got to figure it out to how to do it for yourself. FCC.gov? I don't know. I think the electronic complaint form is there. Why is every station that carries Glenn Beck not contemplating a $1.5 million fine for carrying a guy who incites the murder of ex-presidents? I ask you why. Well, for starters, because organizing liberals is a little like herding cats across a parking lot. Like I said, it's like pushing a wheelbarrow full of frogs. And that's not necessarily a slur. The fact of the matter is, us real Americans, us real patriotic, constitution-loving Americans, us unterrified Americans, we got jobs to do. And we spend hours and hours and hours and hours a day doing them. And it's hard to pull back and take time away from the job and the bills and the grocery store and the new tires and the... And have time to file FCC complaints about personalities who incite murder. We figure that, you know, the Secret Service, they'll figure it out and they'll go talk to Glenn. But no, they won't! He's on their side, they're on his. Nobody has come to Ann Coulter's door asking her why she was inciting people to poison a Supreme Court justice. Explain to me why we can't get together and stop just one of these punks. If whoever pays this little monster wants to have him on the airwaves, that's fine. But there is a fine system in place. My God, Howard Stern? Howard Stern was fined right off the public airwaves because he talked about caca. He didn't even say the four-letter word for it. He talked about women's body parts and how he dug beautiful women and sex. He talked about sex. And here in Bush America, sex is a dirty thing. You can't talk about sex. But if you happen to be a right-wing millionaire freak, you can call for the assassination like Glenn Beck did. Why is this man still walking around? What do you call that? That is a call for assassination. He can sit around calling for the assassination of a former president of the United States, and that is, by God, a crime. It is a felony. At the very least, it gets you a trip to St. Elizabeth's, and you get to be bunkie mates with John Hinckley. Oh, I got some more of it, but I think I've heard all I can stand, and I think we need a break because we got to do the rest of this. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Thank you. Hello, I'm Michael Strahan of the New York Giants. When I'm not playing football, I'm tackling homelessness by working with homeless kids at Help USA, the nation's largest provider of jobs, homes, and services for homeless families. Please help us tackle homelessness. Make a donation, become a mentor, or hire a welfare to work graduate.
Help USA!
Speaking of thievery,
yes.
Just wanted to let you know that Alistair Cook, okay, last year, right?
Yes.
He died of lung cancer that spread to his bones. He was 95 years old. Apparently, his bones have been or were stolen. Apparently, there's a ring of people out there that steal bones. They steal these bones and they make dental implants. Apparently, now he had cancer all in his bones, right? But the people who stole the bones rewrote the paperwork to make it look like he died of a heart attack. So now there's somebody else walking around out there with his diseased, cancerous bones in their body.
That is freaky.
Yeah, I just thought it was so...
Oh my God.
I thought it was so ghoulish.
It just freaks me out. Anyway...
Hey, don't forget to join Bruce and I Saturday, 10 p.m. Eastern Time for the next edition of Fourth Estate Radio. Get the streaming details at fourthestateradio.com. That's fourthestateradio.com.
Tom DeLay, indicted for criminal money laundering, pocketed tens of thousands in campaign contributions from indicted lobbyist Jack Abramoff. 48 trips to golf resorts, 100 flights aboard company jets, 200 nights at world-class resorts and hotels, $1 million from Russian tycoons to allegedly influence his vote. $1 million from Russian tycoons? What else will we uncover about Tom DeLay? It's time for DeLay to resign.
So if you believe in that God, and if you believe in those spiritual tenets, as 80% of these people that I just read in this poll, supposedly they say they believe in them, you know, is that fantasy world, or is that real world? I mean, if they really believe in those tenets, if they really believe in that religion, if they really believe in that Christ, then why do we have a war going on? And why do we have people starving? And why do we have people homeless? And why do we have, you know, all of this injustice in society? And why are African Americans killed at three times the rate of white Americans in our prisons in execution chairs? I'll tell you why. Because we have a long way to go to make this society an equitable one. We have a long way to go to create the kind of society that our spiritual principles tell us we need to have. Hey, this is Bruce Birch, and I'd like to invite you to join me each and every Sunday evening at 10 p.m. Eastern for All Things Reconsidered, the weekly program that takes a progressive look at the week in politics. For connection information and archives of all of my shows, point your browser to allthingsreconsidered.org. That's allthingsreconsidered.org.
Start wrapping it up. Not really. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Head On. That's the only way we know how to do things. Straight ahead, head on. And one last question occurs to me about Glenn Beck, and I wonder if the little mouth breathing, knuckle walking Southerners, you know, and I are one, born and bred, still south of the Mason-Dixie line, even as I speak. I wonder if they understand how much malice he's directing toward them with this attack on Bill Clinton, Jimmy Carter, because you didn't hear the rest of it. You didn't hear him start comparing Jimmy Carter to Britney Spears. See, the right wing likes to, left wing, yeah, you liberals are a bunch of elitists and stuff.
They you can't swing a dead cat in Bill Frist's kitchen without hitting some right wing freak who's the liberals are clearly elitists. I can't afford to be an elitist. I wouldn't be one if I could. I like brown beans and cornbread and little fresh green onions straight out of the garden. I like a nice tomato sliced up with a little salt and black pepper and maybe a little dollop of blue plate mayonnaise on it. Yeah, I know, some people are going, ick. Trust me, it's good. I like, there are things I love about my Southern heritage. There's a whole bunch of crap I absolutely despise about it, too. But this Beck creep actively looks down his nose at the very people who tune him in and think that he is brilliant. So, I don't know, wait a minute, maybe they've got it coming. Nah, but you know what I mean. So, there's Glenn Beck calling for the assassination of Jimmy Carter. Ann Coulter calling for the assassination of Supreme Court Justice Stevens. But it gets funnerer. It really does. Like I said early in the program, my good friend Ben Birch alerted me to this. You know who the American Family Association is, right? They're run by the Reverend Donald Wildman. Well, he's a Wildman. Reverend Donald Wildman. Now, see, I'm openly mocking that redneck, hypocritical, theocratic jerk. Well, he has his mouth-breathing followers all up in arms right now, trying to generate FCC complaints. And remember, between groups like this and L. Brent Bozell, they generate 99.9% of the FCC complaints received in any given year. This time, they're all fired up about a television show, and I can't tell you a blessed thing about this TV show, because if it didn't happen on the History Channel, the Food Network, Comedy Central, or occasionally some news segment, I don't know about it. Okay, Monk. I'm guilty of watching Monk, too. But I don't. But apparently there's a television show on NBC called Las Vegas. Now, see, the American Family Association thought they had themselves a big win because they chased one television program off the air. Or maybe it just died out because it was bad television. Something called The Book of Daniel. But whatever. Yeah, now the cat decides to talk. No, NBC has a program called Las Vegas, and here's what it boils down to. There was a scene in, and imagine this, in a show called Las Vegas, there was a scene inside up. Now sit down, everybody, because I'm sure most of you don't realize that these things exist in the United States. There was a scene inside a strip joint. Really? Oh, no. Were they burning Bibles too, Bob? Well, they didn't show that part. This is from the AFA.net. The February 6th episode of NBC's Las Vegas contained a scene inside a strip club. The content of that scene was extremely graphic. This is the best part. We have provided a video of the scene below. Now, if you want to, you can go to afa.net, afa.net/Las Vegas.asp, afa.net/LasVegas.ASP. Ordinarily, I would suggest that you not spin their little hit counter, but I don't care how much of their bandwidth you tie up because it costs some money. afa.net/LasVegas.ASP. They put the video on their website, the American Family Association. This was a very graphic scene inside a strip club in Las Vegas. It was graphic, I tell you. There was breastises all over the place. NBC, wait a minute. NBC aired this scene during primetime hours when they knew millions of cheerings would be likely watching. But NBC didn't care if they exposed cheering to this kind of material. Please take action below and help us help our cheering. Because our cheering is all bottle babies, and our cheering never seen no breastises. Dirty old breastises. Can you imagine feeding a baby off of one of them filthy things? That's right. They put a video, they put up the clip for their righteous, self-righteous, holier-than-thou, probably will get their little retinas burned by watching this thing, faithful. Please watch this in case you missed the program so you can file your FCC complaint. But for God's sakes, don't have the cheerings around. We will, however, provide you an alternative video clip of some war and death and bleeding and body parts for your cheering to watch, and there will be an opportunity at the end for them to write down an address so they can get their junior membership to the National Rifle Association. Yeah, Spike, it does include a lap dance scene. That's one of the things that got them worked up particularly badly. The FCC has several new commissioners who have spoken out about the content of some television programs. They have invited the public to send them their complaints. Rather than trying to describe it to you, I would rather you watch it yourself, said Reverend Donald Wildman. Wait a minute, you sick freak. You're encouraging your flock to watch dirty stuff. I'd rather you watch it yourself. After watching the video, please follow the instructions to file your official complaint with the FCC. It will only take a couple of minutes to file the complaint. Do it for your cheering and your grandcheering. After you file your complaint, please forward this to friends and family. Warning, this scene taken from the NBC program Las Vegas is highly offensive. If you're the average, room temperature IQ member of the American Family Association, oh, he's being elitist again, you're darn right. And you see that, warning, this scene is taken from the NBC program Las Vegas is highly offensive. You know what? You can't get to your demon computer fast enough to watch this thing. Because we all know that Fox's highest ratings for all of their nasty little shows, and we know that ABC's highest ratings for Desperate Housewives are in the Bible Belt! This is a masquerade for a complaint. This is an excuse to provide a little bit of entertainment to the otherwise staid, dull, deadly, boring lives of the right wing. Can you imagine that? They're deliberately polluting. What if some member of the... I said member. What if some person who belongs to the American Family Association sees this and suddenly decides that they must go to a strip joint? Isn't Donald Wildman responsible for that when he is called to his accounting? In the last days and the judgment thereupon. Amen. Praise Jesus. Isn't he? And what if a child walks into the... Like, you can go and see this. The lighting is low. You can't tell the breasts from the balloons. Some of the breasts have balloons in them. I mean, You can't, there's nothing, there's no there there. There's a woman in a really short skirt. I did see that much. Now, Agnes tried to get her hands over my eyes before my retinas got burned, but I did see that much. So, here's what I did. I followed their little link to their little complaint file, where you could file your own complaint. And I used their link to the FCC to file the following. And it's got the address on it, Federal Communications Commission, 445 12th Street Southwest, Complaints and Political Programming Branch. Wow. FCC complaints and political programming are in the same branch at the FCC. Does that tell you something? Enforcement Division, Mass Media Bureau, Washington, D.C., yada, yada. This is a formal complaint regarding abuse of the FCC complaint process. Now, I'm doing this all through the American Family Association. This is a formal complaint regarding the abuse of the FCC complaint process. Network, NBC and affiliate stations, program title, Las Vegas, which was broadcast on, broadcast date, broadcast time. And then instead of sending their little parroted text, I wrote my own. The American Family Association, an organization of morally bankrupt, ethically dead right-wing freaks, abuses the complaint process to the FCC by getting its knickers in a bunch over programming that they don't even have to watch. The American Family Association is a gang of ugly little fascists whose sole goal is to establish a theocratic state in which it dictates what other Americans may and may not watch. As such, the American Family Association clearly despises freedom of speech as well as the tenets of the First Amendment to the Constitution of the United States. Clearly, the American Family Association is in violation of the Federal Anti-Spam Act, and all communications coming from its servers should be blocked at the FCC. Here is the sort of foolishness these mouth breathers get upset about. On February 6th, NBC broadcast Las Vegas. One scene depicted the inside of a strip club. During the broadcast of this scene, numerous females were shown dancing in a sexually explicit manner. Included were close-up shots of female buttocks, clearly showing rear nudity. In another pose, one female dancer was, well, we won't go into that. But I then went on and said, interestingly, I've never known the American Family Association to complain about depictions of murder, war, death, or torture. That's probably because they're so sick and sadistic that they enjoy that sort of thing. Any complaint from the American Family Association should be ignored as the ravings of a gang of weird little America-hating lunatic thugs. Best regards, yours very truly. And I pressed the send button. Yes, Butox. B-U-T-T-O-C-K-S, Butox. I pressed the send button. And it said, and then I got an email in my email box saying, you've been subscribed to American Family Association newsletter. See, but the trick is, I want this thing to go all the way through. Because I'm going to follow up with the FCC in a week or so and see if they actually received it. But the fact of the matter is, they are the American Family Association is engaging in spam because they confess on their website that most of the people who send the complaints will not have seen the broadcast, that they have to watch it on their website to get their dirty little jollies. So therefore, the vast majority, probably in excess of 99% of the complaints that come to the FCC about this particular program, well, they're spam, and there is an anti-spam law in the United States. And the American Family Association should be prosecuted for that, just like Glenn Beck should be prosecuted for calling for the murder of Jimmy Carter. You see? This is what we're dealing with on the other side. These are ugly, nasty little people. Our buddy Spike writes and says the only person on TV to comment about Glenn Beck being an ass, drumroll, Keith Olbermann.
He gave them a piece of advice to CNN when he gave them world's worst person for that night, worst person in the world, made them put the camera on him and say, "Trust me, as an MSNBC employee, you still have a chance to back out. I got two words for you, Michael Savage." Because you remember when Michael Savage briefly got his television program on MSNBC, you know, it was because he had an enjoyable conversational style. And then he promptly told someone with ostensibly gay caller to the program to go and get AIDS and die, and that was the end of Michael Savage's TV career. Thanks, Spike. Let's see. But you've got to... If you want to, feel free to complain to CNN about Glenn Beck. Feel free... Sorry, my brain just had to reboot. Feel free to complain to the FCC or the Secret Service about Glenn Beck calling for the murder of Jimmy Carter. And feel free to contact the FCC to suggest, you know, just sort of counter. Do what I did. Counter all this negative garbage coming from the American Family Association about a program that the American Family Association freely confesses it didn't watch. So, you know, whatever your local NBC affiliate is, now this thing I have from American Family Association says that it was broadcast on February the 6th, 2006. At 9 p.m. Eastern and Pacific. And the program again, Las Vegas. All the details are there if you go to afa.net. I can't believe that... But ordinary America doesn't know this is happening. Ordinary America doesn't care. Ordinary America will sit by quietly and blithely watch the First Amendment be shredded by a bunch of people who want to tell you what to believe, how to believe it, and among other things, how, you know, what you can do with your own human body when the lights go out, or for that matter, stay on. This is a culture war. They're organized. We're herding cats across a parking lot. We're pushing a wheelbarrow full of frogs. And if we ever hope to change any of this, we'd better stop. We'd better look. We will have the big debate about whether we march with our flowers in our left hand or in our right, and whether we sing Kumbaya before the march or after the march. We can have that discussion after we've won the fight. We can absolutely tear ourselves to shreds over that kind of minutia garbage. But right now, they are people like the American Family Association, they are not an innocuous group. They claim a mailing list in the millions. And while you and I say, oh, well, Las Vegas, Jesus, that sucks, and push the clicker button and move on to the next program... If we even know it's on to begin with. Some of us still read books, for God's sakes. They're monitoring and finding ways to put the camel's nose under the tent and attack the First Amendment a little more, a little more, a little more, a little more. And if you think that a program, a stupid little program that's got some Botox in it, like Las Vegas, if you think that doesn't have any impact on your life, you're wrong. Because when NBC is forced to pay a fine for that, but Glenn Beck gets to rail on and call for the murder of an ex-president, you know what comes next? What happened to those seven individuals in Greensboro, North Carolina last week is what comes next, and it's already happened. And if you want to, if for instance, maybe you want to
protest, or for hell, if you want to just stand outside in a group. What the American Family Association can do to NBC, they can a hell of a lot easier do to you. Got it? Enjoy that union you belong to? Want to keep belonging to it? You best, by God, pay attention when the American Family Association is out there saying that you don't have a right to watch a television program, because that's the same First Amendment that contains your freedom of association and your right to associate with those whom you choose to associate with, and that, by God, is your right to form a union. It's your right to form a garden club. It's your right to go to the church of your choice instead of the freak church and the snake handlers and the strychnine drinkers that Donald Wildman wants you to follow. This ain't no little bit of nothing. This is a whole bunch of something. I'm going to do my part. Let's all do our part. The show tonight was produced by my lovely wife, Agnes. It was announced by our good friend, Brian Reznor. The studio was engineered by Randy Kerbway. Ben Birch maintains the stream.